Today on Real Radio.
When you gather people together of different faiths who worship different Jesuses and different gods, and you're praying, then you're no different than what the Old Testament warned, that God said, don't you ever mix my temple and my worship with the pagan gods of the unbelievers.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. Pastor Jack's in a mini-series that takes a look at the first four verses of chapter 11, a passage that warns believers not to be led astray, quote, as the serpent deceived Eve. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his multi-part series called With This Mind.
The biblical Jesus is the creator God of the Bible. Did you know that? The biblical Jesus is Lord. The Bible says there's no other. The biblical Jesus is God's only son. That's right. Listen, all of those cults say God does not have a son, not in the biblical sense. The biblical Jesus, the Bible says, is eternal. Is that the Jesus you know? Is your Jesus eternal? The Bible says that the biblical Jesus is God incarnate. Is that the Jesus you know? The biblical Jesus alone is salvation. What do we know about the biblical Jesus and who is he? The Bible says that the biblical Jesus, listen, had to be prophesied of in the Old Testament from cover to cover. Is that the Jesus you know? The biblical Jesus was conceived of God by the Holy Spirit. Is that the Jesus you know? The biblical Jesus had to be born of a virgin, says the Old Testament. He had to be born in Bethlehem. The biblical Jesus had to reside in Nazareth. The biblical Jesus had to preach and teach and display the kingdom of God in power. Is that the biblical Jesus you know? The biblical Jesus had to be the Old Testament fulfillment of its requirements. The biblical Jesus had to satisfy the righteousness of God. Is this the biblical Jesus you know? So listen, that was just warm up. Are you ready? That was just warm up. We're going to go down this, put your eyes to the screen, get your pen ready, and we're going to look at who is this biblical Jesus. I hope you're excited about this. I was so excited, I could hardly sleep this night. I couldn't wait. Guys, throw it up on the screen. First slide. Who is the biblical Jesus? Is this the one you know personally? Revelation 1, 7 and 8 says that Jesus is the Almighty. Genesis 17, 1 says the Almighty is God. Next, the Bible says John 8, 58, Jesus says that he is the I Am, Ego Eimi, the eternal God. Exodus 3, 14 says the I Am is God. Next, Acts 3, 14 says that Jesus is the Holy One. But Isaiah 43, 15 says the Holy One is God. Next, John 8, 24 says that Jesus is the I Am He, and Isaiah 43, 10 says that the I Am He is God. Next one. Revelation 22, 13 says that Jesus is the first and the last, and Isaiah 44, 6 says that the first and the last is God. That is awesome. Next slide. 1 Corinthians 10, 4 says that Jesus is the rock, and Psalm 18, 31 says the rock is God. Next, John 5, 21 says that Jesus rises from the dead, and 1 Samuel 2, 6 says that God raises the dead. John 8, 12 says that Jesus is the light. Isaiah 60, 19 and 20 says that God is the light. Next, Matthew 25, 31 to 46 says that Jesus is the judge, and Joel 3, 12 says the God is judge. Next slide, Colossians 1, 16 says that Jesus is the creator of angels, and Psalm 148, verse 5 says the creator of angels is God. Hebrews 1, 6 says that angels worshiped Jesus, and Psalm 148, 2 says that angels worship God. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 says that Jesus is the one husband. And Jeremiah 31, 32 says the one husband is God. Matthew 23:8 says that Jesus is the one master. And Malachi 1:6 says that the one master is God. John 10:16 says that Jesus is the one shepherd. But Isaiah 40:11 says the one shepherd is God. Acts 4:12 says that Jesus is the one Savior. And Isaiah 45:21 says the one Savior is God. Luke 1:68 says that Jesus is the one Redeemer. And Isaiah 41:14 says the one Redeemer is God. Revelation 19:16 says that Jesus is the Lord of Lords. And Deuteronomy 10:17 says the Lord of Lords is God. Philippians 2:10 says that every knee must bow to Jesus. And Isaiah 43:23 says that every knee must bow to God. John 1:3-10 says that Jesus is the one creator. And Genesis 1:1 says the creator is God. John 1:49 says that Jesus is the King of Israel. And Isaiah 44:6 says that the King of Israel is God. I just want you to thank God for sending Jesus. In all of these passages, the Bible says that there is only one Alpha and the Omega, that there is only one God, there is only one Savior. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation says that there's only one Redeemer. The Bible says there's only one God. Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, revealed himself to us in human form in Jesus Christ. And Satan has had a plan to thwart that ever since. And so he floods the market with counterfeits. Those few verses I gave you supporting the deity of Jesus Christ, if you do not hold to these verses, then you've got a different Jesus. And that's a serious statement. I understand that. But it's 100% biblical. It's the biblical Christ, and it's the one we're talking about today. The next thing we see in verse 4 is that with this mind, stronger faith breeds spiritual discernment, is that we need to be resisting the world. The Bible tells us that there's a spirit that is out, afoot in this world, and is it a spirit to deceive? It says, or if you receive or allow a different spirit which you have not received, be warned. Paul is warning them. The word spirit here is heteros, and it means a false or aberrant, sinful influence. It means a foreign or strange spirit. Listen to this. This is going to get touchy here in a moment. It means something that is in manifestation of, but not the same as. The manifestation of, but not the same as. What does that mean? It means that there's a spirit that will traffic among people in religious settings. And that's a broad statement, religious settings. That is permeating a gathering. And it's as though a spirit, imagine for a moment if you could see a dark cloud moving through the pews or the chairs here today. And it's just going right under your nose, as it were, and it would be inhaled in, like you'd smell, maybe you're smelling someone's perfume or cologne next to you right now, and it'd be like that. It comes and it gets inside, and it begins to impart thoughts and temptations of thinking, other thoughts that are not Christian, other thoughts that are not biblical, things that would pull you, very convincing, very powerful, mind you. Makes a lot of sense in the way of the world. It just makes sense. And you know, it just seems right to me. Listen, did you hear what I just said? It just seems right to me. That's a form of deception. But I feel like this is what I should do. Have you heard this before? As a pastor, I shudder when I hear this. Pastor Jack, I know, you know what? I know what the Bible says, but I feel that God is leading me to leave my wife. That is not God. That is a deceiving, aberrant spirit. That is a demonic deception. Well, I feel, you know, my husband's never, he's never made me happy. He's never fulfilled all of my desires. And I've met a man, and I had someone tell me this, truly, don't tell me God doesn't want me happy. Listen, are you ready for this? I love all of you, but God doesn't want us happy. He wants us holy. And when you're holy, you'll be happy. And you think you're going to be happy violating God's will, listening to an aberrant spirit that leads you astray? Listen, have you noticed? All of us have noticed this. Satan and the spirit of this world will come to us and say, hey, go ahead, do this, do that, go there, go here. It's okay. God will forgive you. He's merciful. He's forgiving. And if you let that thought go or you cross that line, what's his next comment? God will never forgive you. You call yourself a Christian? You're condemned, you loser. God's... Sound familiar? A deceiving spirit. Paul said, watch out. There are other Jesuses out there that are being preached. They're being brought to your doorstep. They're being proclaimed in religions. The names of Jesus written in religious writings, and they are not the biblical Jesus. Why? Because there is a spirit in the world that is out there to deceive. And if you do not know your Bible, you are going to have a emotionally based theology rather than a biblically based theology. A biblically based theology should tell my feelings to sit down. Because my feelings, well, I want to do this, and I want to do, and my Bible, listen, the Holy Spirit will speak to me using the Word of God. All of us go through this. How do we bring our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions under control? By God's Word. Resisting the world is a constant effort. What's implied here is a spiritual influence. Now hang on to your seats. This is a warning against what we see again sweeping in the church. I saw it about 30 years ago and it's back. And that is spirituality. That's a buzzword today. You meet a lot of young people today, they're spiritual. Spiritual. I'm really into spirituality. Have you ever seen this sticker, which cracks me up? I don't know if you know this or not, but have you seen the sticker Coexist? You predominantly see that sticker around San Francisco, Napa, Laguna, Newport. And if you were to ask the people, hey, can you tell me what that means? I just think we should all get along. I'll give you some homework. Find out who produced and sells that bumper sticker. You're going to be shocked. It's a certain religious group that is absolutely antagonistic to all of those that are represented on that sticker. I think they laugh every time they see it. Let's just coexist. Let's just all get along. Doesn't that sound nice? Who doesn't want to all get along? But until the Prince of Peace returns, it ain't going to happen. Because you know what? There are doctrines out there of evil spirits that are pitting those who don't want anything to do with Jesus, the real Jesus. They don't want anything to do with God, the Bible, God of the Bible. They don't want anything to do with truth. Listen, I'm sorry to tell you this, but we just can't get along. Well, can't we just have an interfaith prayer meeting? Look, if you're attending an interfaith prayer meeting, you're wasting your time. When you gather people together of different faiths who worship different Jesuses and different gods, and you're praying, then you're no different than what the Old Testament warned that God said, don't you ever mix my temple and my worship with the pagan gods of the unbelievers. And we get invitations all the time, come and pray. And the religions that are coming to the prayer meeting know not God. And I'm forbidden to go. God will not allow me to go. It's a different spirit. And Paul's warning the church at Corinth, don't do that. Remember that discernment is to set apart, is to separate, to judge. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul speaks to Timothy and he says, and that from childhood you have known, that's key, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise, there's the word discerning, for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. My dear friends, that's an awesome verse to memorize. 2 Timothy 3:15, it is the Bible that gives you wisdom on to know what to do and what not to do, to who to worship, who not to worship. Hebrews 5:14. It's quiet in here. You guys okay? Yes. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is spiritually mature, that is those who by reason of use, In other words, the Bible is active in their lives, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, truth from error. Tragically, the lack of this is what's behind what I consider today a false church movement. I believe there's a false church movement in America, for that matter, in the world. And there are people, they've got Bibles, and it's cool music, cool stage, cool presentation, no mention of sin, no mention of the cross, no mention of repentance, no mention of lamenting over the fact that you and I have sinned against the holy God, that we are condemned to hell without Christ, that he came to set us free because the love of God put Jesus on the cross that we might be freed. And it's not some recreational belief. It is heaven or hell. It is life or death. Well, man, that's intolerant. That's what the world says. And that's what those false movements are saying. Sin apparently is so bad that no good human could have died to take our place. Apparently, sin is so bad that no angel could die in our place. Clearly, sin is so bad that God himself and alone could appease the demands of righteousness. It had to be the righteousness of Christ dying for the hideousness of my sin to set me free. And to some that offends them, and to some boneheads like me, it delights my soul. Jesus died for me. That's the biblical Jesus. Jude 1, verse 4 in the New Living Translation says, Jude 1, 4 says, I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Strong word, huh? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Watch this. Number one, giving heed, that is, to grant attention to deceiving spirits. Wow. And two, doctrines of demons, that is, teachings, instructions to give audience regarding doctrines of demons. Isn't it amazing that according to the Bible, there's the Holy Spirit who's doing the warning, and there are deceiving spirits doing the undermining, and the source are doctrines of demons, demonic activity. So who is behind the undermining of biblical authority? Doctrines of demons, Satan. Who is behind the redefinition of marriage? Did you know that? Redefinition of marriage is not a political issue. It never was. Who invented marriage, ladies and gentlemen? Where do you find that in? Genesis chapter 1. The culture wants to redefine marriage. Where is the source of that deception? Doctrines of demons. We have to remember that. You can't get upset at people and get ugly and mean at people. They've been deceived by doctrines of demons. Who is behind teaching of the emotionally based theology, the feel, oh, just feel right now. If you feel this feeling, if you have this burning in your bosom, it must be true. Doctrines of demons. Who's behind the private interpretation of Scripture? What do I mean by that? There'll be those who will come to you and say, God told me and showed me as I was praying through the night. I saw this light emanate. And God told me to tell you that this is what you're supposed to do. The Bible says there is no private interpretation of Scripture. Are you a Christian? Yes. Then let God speak to you. Judge everything according to the word. By the way, think of this. Who is behind the spirit of lawlessness that's going on in our state and the nation and the world for that matter? Doctrines of demons. Who's behind the explosion and the duplication of false churches? Doctrines of demons. Think of who, what spirit would be behind the abortion agenda? Have you read your Old Testament? It was the doctrines of demons that were bent on having Israelis and pagans alike sacrifice what? Their children. The only one who wins in that is Satan. Remarkable. Man-made Christianity today, if there's such a thing, says things like this. You can be a Christian adulterer. Now look, you can be an adulterer, but when you come to Christ, I guarantee you one thing. You can be committing adultery the Sunday morning before you go to church or whenever you hear the gospel and accept the gospel. And from that moment on, you will not be very successful at being an adulterer after that. You may trip up in your adultery after becoming a Christian, but it will make you vomit. It will make you know. You'll know, God does not want me to do this. I've sinned. And you can go down the list. You cannot be a Christian thief. You can be a thief and then get saved. But you can't be saved and continue to be a thief. I recently heard a pastor of a church say that you can be a Christian sodomite or a Christian homosexual. Books are being written on this topic now. And because of political correctness, people are swallowing it because that's what they want. And the Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says, God says, I can save you from all that. You cannot be, listen, you can be a liar and then come to Christ and be saved. But you can't come to Christ and then continue being a liar. The Holy Spirit will not allow it. What is God saying in your life? You're deceiving yourself if you think, well, you know what? I used to be a drunk. I accepted Jesus Christ, and I'm still a drunk, and that's just the way that it is. The Holy Spirit is saying no to you. He's saying, I've got a better way for you to live. I've got life for you. Surrender to Him. There's a spirit afoot to destroy and to kill. And I know this is not popular to say, but I must tell you the truth. If somebody dresses it up in spirituality and they've got a church setting and they say, you know what, if it feels good, do it. He who dies with the most toys in Jesus' name wins. It's the survival of the fittest in Jesus' name. No.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called With This Mind. It's a lesson taken from the first four verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. With This Mind is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember that if you haven't yet subscribed to Pastor Jack's weekly real-life devotions, you really should. You will not regret it. You get a new real-life devotion in your inbox every Monday, and Real Radio listeners are saying that it's a great way to start off the week. It seems that Real Radio listeners who subscribe to Real Life Devotions really appreciate them, and they're letting Pastor Jack know. Here's one letter. Thanks, Pastor Jack, for your usual excellent Real Life Devotion. We are lifted each week as your words bring Scripture alive and help us think about its application in our lives. Pastor Jack, we are great admirers of how you live in the Spirit, and we thank you for the fine example you set. And that comes from Bob and Pam, who, by the way, signed off with what looks like their life verse, Jude 25. Jude 24 and 25 is the doxology that wraps up this letter written by one of Christ's half-brothers. Wow, thank you, Bob and Pam. Appreciate that. Subscribe to Pastor Jack's Real Life Devotions. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, if you need to get in touch with us by phone, our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.